The Big Breakfast Catch-Up is brought to you by the great gas deals at Alinta Energy.
Hi, this is Claire, Matt and Kimbo. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast.
This is our Friends of the Show catch-up podcast with our favourite regulars.
Plus the special guests and celebs who hung out with us this week.
And hey, it's National Science Week.
Hey!
So this is everything from your Bunsen burners and your experiments and bubbling concoctions at school or at home to the things that I find a bit more interesting about science. The links to music, right? Now, this is the stuff we find fantastic. Professor Adrian North is joining us and he is the head of School of Psychology at Curtin University and knows his stuff. Welcome so much to the show.
Thanks for having me. Thank you.
We're thrilled to have you here. Now, I'm going to kick off by saying what exactly or how exactly is music linked to our personality types?
Yeah, it's actually more straightforward than you might think. Basically, your personality, it's your fundamental motivation. It drives everything that you do. So, of course, one of the things that it drives is your musical taste, but it drives the choice of chair you might want to sit on, the car you might be choosing to drive, what the kind of jobs you choose to take. And music's just another little manifestation of your personality.
Okay.
So we were asked to give two of our favourite songs to Tom, the producer, overnight. Not really knowing what it was all about.
Okay.
So I gave Dear Prudence by the Beatles.
Great song. Totally crossed my mind.
Yeah. And Kimba also went with the Beatles song.
I went with the Beatles. I went with Across the Universe.
So, I mean, Adrian, surely that says something incredible about the two of us.
Yeah, the deepest thing that tells me about you both is that you're both human beings, and that's about it. You also eat, you breathe, you sleep, and you like the Beatles, just like everyone else.
Oh,
and it's interesting that there's a very small number of acts like the Beatles, Elvis, and there's a few others as well, that tell you almost nothing, just because everyone likes them. It doesn't distinguish people in any way.
Okay, well, what if you don't like them?
That is weird. And
not
that the people necessarily are weird, but what's interesting is how few people you meet who actually are. I have to say, I've always had the view that basically if someone tells you they don't like the Beatles, they're probably lying.
Yes, right, yes. Yeah.
All right, okay. Well then let's go a bit deeper. We're lucky we gave you a backup song because we did in fact give you two songs to go with. Just turn that up. And if you want, I mean, I'll throw you to my second song.
Sure.
I've thrown in my favourite band, Death Cab for Cutie, with a song called Soul Meets Body. Where is soul?
Okay. Dr. Adrian.
What does that little ditty say about me?
It says a number of possible things. I think that the most likely one, obviously looking at the genre that fits into, is that you'll be pleased to hear it means that probably compared to most people, you probably feel pretty good about yourself.
Oh, good.
It means you're probably going to have a pretty good sense of self-confidence, a good sense of self-esteem, probably don't spend too long worrying about how you look, about how you're performing in your job and so
you
on.
Say
and
that at 4 in the morning. Okay, I'll take that.
Oh, nice positive outcome for Kimber on that one.
I'm happy with that.
Okay, well, I went with one of my favourite songs by Porno for Pyros, Pets.
Great tune.
Better be positive, Adrian, I tell you. What does that say about me?
It better be positive. I like Porno for Pyros too. You're on safe ground,
right,
mate.
Right.
Now, what it means in particular is that you're probably, compared to most people, scored relatively high for one of the big five dimensions of personality called openness to experience.
Ooh.
That means you're creative. It means that you like all kinds of new ideas. You're very open to try anything out, any particular idea that's floating around in science, in politics.
It's got me into
philosophy.
A lot of trouble over the years,
yep.
Adrian, that openness. Yes. That's interesting.
Mm. So it's very much this sense of being omnivorous. It's a willingness to travel. It's a willingness to try anything new.
God,
and it's been fascinating. Is it about the music itself, the way it's composed? Is it the lyrics or
the
is it
beat.
A combination of everything?
It seems to be more around the particular subculture that goes with it is what we think. So,
right.
You can often, as you know yourselves, you work in radio, you get two songs which are technically classified as being different genres, but they sound quite similar.
Mm-hmm.
And what seems to be the crucial point is the genre that people assign that song to, and particularly the genre that they think they like.
Ah, okay.
So, for example, if someone is a Taylor Swift fan, they might regard themselves therefore as being a pop fan, which usually means that they've got a certain type of personality.
Right.
Or if they think instead they're a country fan, then they tend to have a slightly different personality, much more mainstream, much more conservative.
Hmm. You see how cool science is. We could talk forever on this. Unfortunately, we'll have to wrap it up. But it is Science Week. You can go to scienceweek.net.au to find out all sorts of events that are happening. Dr. Adrian North, thank you so much for coming in.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
He's demoted you to doctor. I'm going to go with professor.
I'm so sorry. You see, it's just me being open to new experiences.
The Big Breakfast with Claire, Matt and Kimber.
And the West Coast Fever. They have made history. Last year only won 2 games, but have now
Why'd you bring that up? Come on, we're meant to be celebrating.
I'm trying to bookend the emotion here, Kimber. I'm painting pictures with words, but they clinched a win, 63-57 against the Greater Western Sydney Giants. This is how it sounded.
The entire Fever entourage on their feet and now in the air celebrating an historic win for West Coast Fever.
So proud of each single one of you. We get a week off!
It means there'll be a grand final at Perth Arena on August the 26th. Nat Medhurst, good morning and congratulations.
Good morning. Thank you very much. And yes, we did only win 2 games. We did actually talk about that during the season. Just going, how on earth did we survive last year only winning 2 games? So where we are, grand final, is very, very nice.
It's fantastic. And congratulations to you too, MVP, with your 9 goals, 27 assists. Fantastic game.
I don't agree with it, but I'll take it. At my age, you'll take what you can get. But I thought Courtney Bruce, our captain, had an absolute stellar game. And if I did my role amongst getting us to get into a grand final, then, that's the main thing.
Now, am I right? So we've got Greater Western Sydney Giants, who you've beaten. They're now going to play against Gold Coast Lightning. Is that right? Sunshine Coast Lightning. And what's your form been against the Sunshine Coast this year?
We've beaten them twice by 1 goal on both occasions.
Okay.
So, I'm not too sure if there's a preference amongst the group or coaching staff in terms of who we would prefer to play. For me, I don't really care.
No,
so,
sure.
It's going to be a massive game. Obviously, I think really close battle between those two next weekend.
And what about Janelle Fowler's knee? So that was a bit, I mean, she still played like a champion, but still some niggling knee injuries look like, you know, she was doing her best.
Yeah, she likes to keep the spotlight on her and the attention as long as everyone's talking about it. No, I honestly thought it was her ankle to start off with. I thought she might have tweaked it and then, it turned out to be her knee. She came off. I thought Kalia did an awesome job in coming on. So Janelle's had issues with her knee, I think even from previous seasons playing over in New Zealand. So it's something we have managed throughout the year. And I think she just landed a bit awkwardly and sort of maybe pinched and aggravated something. So I'm sure they'll wrap her in cotton wool and manage her really well this week. She'll be stoked because we're still training. Courtney, I heard in that clip, said, we get a week off. We do not get a week off. But Janelle probably will, so she'll be stoked.
So it must be good if you're an elite sports person because if you do want a bit of attention, you just, a little bit of a limp or something. I try and get attention around here, try and look like I'm having a big sook and no one seems to care.
Yeah, he's dragging his leg from another room and we're still got nothing.
Yeah, no, because you don't have any camera in here, so no, that's what you need to do,
that's
guys.
Right.
Just set up a cam. Some of the girls they'll take the limelight, that's for sure.
And some other of your girls, Carla and Bianca, on the block.
They are so former teammates on girls I've played a lot of netball with. Carla with SA, so she's an Adelaide girl, and then Bianca with the Australian team. So they're on the block, which is awesome. They're doing a great job.
But would you have given it up? Would you have just gone middle of the play, gone, I'll just take 4 months off work?
No, and not from what I've heard around what it's like in that environment. It's pretty full on. So things didn't clash with netball, I would maybe consider it, but it's it's a pretty solid ask and a lot of hard work with what the girls are doing. But it's awesome seeing them on there. And I think they're doing a good job. They're entertaining.
Yeah.
They're not causing too
good
much drama. A little bit, but not too much. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And are you a renovator yourself?
Well, I bought a house at the start of the year and I am wanting to do some renovations, but I will be getting someone else to do those.
Scotty Cam, he's going to come in.
We know a guy.
Awesome.
Hey, you can get your tickets at supernetball.com.au. I think that's as of Monday, the 20th of August. But Nat Medhurst, best of luck And here's hoping we can bring it home.
Go West Coast Fever.
Awesome. Thanks so much, guys.
This'll fill you up. Everything Perth for brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claresy, Matt and Kimber.
Dennis, what a weekend. Our mate Lachie Neal played very well in Frio's win, and West Coast fans may well be booking flights to Melbourne.
That was a terrific win by the West Coast Eagles, wasn't it? Great end to a tough week.
Yes.
And I think they came through. They weren't in front from siren to siren, and yet they won the game.
Yeah.
That's an amazing stat, isn't it? So they'd be very happy with all of that. Chewy, Yo, Lysette, Barris all played very well. So as you say, just one more win now and they're certain of getting a home final, and maybe, who knows, a couple of home finals.
Mm. Yeah. Do you think that they played better than expected, considering what they were coming off the back of?
Probably. Although if they're going to be a contender, I think they needed to play that well, if that makes sense. And they played well enough. Port Adelaide, though, very stiff for 2 weeks in a row, so you've got to feel some sympathy for them too, but we don't.
No, we don't.
That's not what we do here. And we just praise winners.
And for anyone who doesn't know what happened, of course, Jeremy McGovern won the game after the siren.
Siren has sounded. McGovern coming in to win it for the Eagles. All the Port players bouncing around. McGovern kicks to the city end.
He's got it!
Lightning strikes twice. McGovern's kicked the goal for the
There you go.
You got to love footy commentators, don't you? They should do a royal wedding.
Get us
out there. We can handle
Markle,
that.
Here comes Markle.
That's right. I couldn't do it anymore. But
well,
those guys could.
Music too. It was so dramatic. It was like more grand final style.
Imagine Lachie Reed and Embers talking about a royal wedding. Now, that would be something. They could do it.
So the Eagles coped reasonably well without Gaff?
Yes. Well, they're going to have to, aren't they?
Yes.
But, I'm not sure about Port. Port Adelaide are a strange team, and they finished missing three players, so that's not easy. But you can only win the game, and I sure thought that in the last quarter they showed a lot of enterprise, the West Coast Eagles, and there wasn't much coming from Port Adelaide. Despite the fact they were down, they didn't really try and go forward and maybe snatch a goal to win it. So as a result, they were doing the rope-a-dope on the ropes, and the West Coast Eagles got over the top of them after the siren.
Yes.
We like that.
And only a few more rounds to go. Anyone there who's not expected to be there or is probably going to let us down?
Well, you mean players from West Coast?
Or just teams in general?
Well, Geelong are the interesting one because I think they can still make it. Looking at their draw, they've got Fremantle next week. Now, their record when they go to Geelong has been pretty good in recent seasons. They lost by a couple of points there. They could be the spoiler. If Fremantle can beat Geelong, then Geelong have no hope. But they could win their last two games because they're Fremantle and the Suns, and they could sneak in depending on other results. And Melbourne come here desperate for a win as well against the Eagles. So that's a tough one for the Eagles. It's not a gimme. And the following week against Brisbane in Brisbane isn't a gimme either. But I think they'll beat Melbourne and probably win the following week as well. But the following week won't matter.
Mm. Yes, and we saw, speaking of teams that maybe blew it with three games out, North Melbourne, I was listening to that game and they were in control and then just let it go.
They recaptured the spirit of 2016, those Bulldogs.
they did too.
It's been missing. There's been an APB out for the spirit of 2016. It finally returned.
Yeah.
How about that? I couldn't see that happening.
No.
It's funny. I think about this time of the year, some guys in some of the teams that can't make the finals realize the season is almost over. And they grit their teeth and find something. Generally, in the last few weeks of a season, there are a lot of upsets.
Yes.
And they don't make sense, a lot of them. And us tipsters are left grinding our teeth. You're doing well again. You picked somebody over the weekend that surprised me.
Well, I thought that you and I both went down with Port Adelaide, didn't we?
We did. But wasn't there one other you got?
Oh, look, I did go for two changes, actually, but I couldn't tell you what they are because Jack, my 12-year-old tipster, is smashing it out of the park. Well played, Jack. Well played, mate.
And I'm giving you the credit, people are talking about you.
We take it as a team. As Jack will say, it's Team Jack and Kimber. We're in this together.
You're harming the myth on the street. You should never have mentioned Jack.
No, credit where it's due. I'll never take it away from someone.
Well done, Jack. That's okay.
Well, it was nice to have the footy back in the headlines. That's all for this weekend.
It was. Yeah. And Fremantle, just give them credit too. 7 goals in that third quarter decided the game. Lachie Neal and David Mundy both having terrific seasons. Cam McCarthy kicked 3 goals and looked pretty good in doing that. No sign of Harley Bunnell. Not sure where he was. Or Bailey Banfield for team balance. He was dropped from the team. He wasn't injured, just dropped from the team. Now, that boy's had a terrific season. I haven't heard of team balance for a long time. It was a sort of polite way of dropping somebody in the past.
Oh,
and I figure he was dropped.
Just by text message.
Yeah, that's right. They can put it any way they like, but he didn't deserve that, I wouldn't have thought.
No. All right.
That's it.
Anything else?
Not really, no.
It's pretty comprehensive.
Well, it was.
We were talking before I came on about fawns. That's how
we
that's,
were.
And you don't want that now, do you?
No. No jumping enough. The shark that, now, guys.
Jumping the shark. There you go. That's it. No,
thanks,
for
Tim.
Me. I'll see you next week.
Beautiful.
The Big Breakfast with Clazy, Matt and Kimber.
In the meantime, it's the man in Canberra running the land from Point Piper to the capital to Perth. Big Mal, good morning.
Good morning to you, Clazy. Hello to you, Kimber and young Matthew. I'd like 10 grand. How do I get it? What's the block?
bit of Scotty Cam.
You don't have to do much to get 10 grand, PM.
Well, no, I don't, because I've got loads of money. But, I wouldn't mind Scotty and the team coming up to do some renos on the Papa. I just need to be able to work with marble in the atrium.
That's right.
Well, Big Mal, I turn to you for all the important things. So, Prime Minister, can you please explain what the NEG, or the National Energy Guarantee, is?
Well, I'm glad you asked, Kimber. It's a vital piece of legislation that we need to push through. Josh Frydenberg, the Minister for Energy, has been out there spruiking this hard. If people don't know Josh, he's the bloke on the news with the three bald spots.
That's him.
And the expression on his face that looks like someone's pointing a gun at him. He always looks quite surprised, or that he's unexpectedly soiled himself. He's quite got that shocked look on his face. Anyway, in short, the NEG is securing the future of Australia's energy. We're getting all the states to pour in their coal-fired, wind-generated, solar, hydro, pouring it all into a big grid to share out, and I don't know really what it's about. I like coal. I like coal-fired power. You know, you can turn on all the lights and everything looks pretty. And never challenge Big Coal, because they will crush you like a bug.
Great leader, is there an emission ceiling or a carbon tax in this policy?
Well, Matthew, I'm really annoyed that you've asked me that.
Oh, I'm
Shame
sorry.
On you. Please don't say carbon tax. It costs people their jobs as Prime Minister. Remember, Julia Gillard's leadership was routed by the carbon tax. Good old Julia. She had a real crack for a bit there until Aussies realised they didn't want a wranger in the top office. No Fanta pants or fire crotches for us. No, poor old Jules. So no, it's not a carbon tax. Anyway, we've buried it so deep in the detail, the world will end as a result of global warming before anybody finds it.
Great.
Well
great.
Done. Yeah, hey, so Big Mel, what do you say to people who are concerned about the environment? Be honest.
The environment. Good on you, Clazy. Nice one. no, it's over. We're past tipping point. So what I suggest the millennials do is buy some property 20 kilometres from the coast and just let the coast come to them. That's what you do. Get inland. Rockingham, oh, it's not far away from the coast, is it?
It's somewhere right down on there. The coast. Yeah,
it's right on the coast.
On the
well,
coast.
That's no good either. Now, what are you guys up to? 94.5 Mix FM rocks. The PM, that's what I'm doing today. I'm terrific.
You're rocking the PM.
You are terrific. Your knowledge of Perth suburbs is just, you've outdone yourself.
Well, I went there once with Julie, and she showed me around, but we didn't get down as far as Rockingham.
Oh, you get to Rocky. Oh, well, you don't want to go down there, because you might bump into the Premier.
We only ever go to Subiaco.
Of course. Hey, thanks, Big Mal. You have a wonderful week running the land.
Bye now, good on you.
This'll fill you up. Everything Perth for brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clazy, Matt and Kimber.
The new Samsung product launch was on around about a week ago. We thought we'd catch up with our man who was there, Trevor Long, EFTM.com.au. G'day, Trev. How are you, mate?
Morning, team. Very well.
Trev, it seems like a long time since we've had something cool and different. Is this new Samsung phone just the same as what we know, but with a better camera?
Yep, 100%.
Okay, thank you very much, Trev.
See you next month.
You know what? I took the Samsung Galaxy Note 8 with me, last year's version, and gee, it was hard to tell them apart. They're very similar. They moved the fingerprint sensor on the back to a different location. The screen is slightly bigger. They diamond cut the edges so it looks a bit better on the edges. So from the outside, it's not revolutionary. It's hardly even evolutionary. But on the inside, like the power and the performance is crazy. The storage on board is immense. And this thing could be a computer. This thing is actually built. It's just crazy. But if you've got a monitor on your desk and a HDMI cord, you can connect that to the bottom of the phone and immediately the phone becomes a computer. So instead of being, you know, your phone interface, it looks like a computer, you know, with a taskbar down the bottom. You can have a YouTube window open and you can be typing in Word. I mean, for people that carry a laptop and a phone around, this thing replaces both. It's surreal, and it's underrated, that feature of it, I think. And, you know, it's a niche product. It's not their biggest selling phone. That's the one they launched earlier in the year, but it's a big deal for Samsung.
And size-wise, Trevor, we know that size isn't important, but is it something that's comfortable to carry as a phone, or does it feel more like a tablet?
Oh, it certainly doesn't feel like a tablet anymore to me, but it is a big phone. Like, I struggle with the larger phones like this because I like to hold the phone in one hand and use the thumb on the screen.
Yeah.
This really needs to be held in the left hand and, you know, use your finger or the pen that comes with it in the other hand. So it's really made to be a two-handed phone. But that's cool because that's what people who like the Samsung Note range of phones love. So they're going to flock back to it. They're going to keep buying it.
Mm.
And I think the performance they've put under the hood is going to entice people who, for example, like playing games or watching videos because it's such a big screen. Looks really good to watch even Netflix on, and playing games. It's got all the performance for, you know, all the mobile games that are out there.
Hey, Trev, I like wearing a watch, but I don't like wearing it while I'm working. So I look down now, it's not on, but I've got a 60-year-old brother-in-law who's now doing a bit of tap and pay with his fancy watch. What about the Samsung thing? What are they doing with cool watches? And can you pay your bills with it?
The new Samsung Galaxy Watch is what they're calling it.
Yep.
Visually evolutionary for them. They've had watches for a few years, but Samsung do watches differently to Apple. They've got a traditional, if you want to call it, round screen. They've got, a much better interface, easier to work, but it does everything you'd want. It does the Samsung Pay, the Google Pay.
Yep.
It does all your notifications. So it's really cool when you get a smartwatch and you use it properly, just to be able to glance at your watch and go, I don't need to take that call, I'm going to get rid of it. Or that message is from that person, I'll move on. There's a bunch of cool things you can do with a smartwatch, and payments, I think, is the number one. So cool to walk up to the counter at the servo and just tap your watch on the screen. Really cool.
Bang. And it's a Jetsons.
Trev, how much is all this going to cost us these days? I mean, sometimes the technology is getting cheaper, sometimes it's costing us more.
Yeah, this one, the watch is going to be $549 upwards, and the $549 is for the smaller version for the ladies. The phone starts at $1,499. Now, that's for the 128 gigabyte model. The 512 gigabyte model, which means lots of space on board, is $1,799. If that tempts you, buy it now, and it's $1,499. So for the next week and a half before it actually goes on sale, it's cheaper to buy the bigger one than it is the smaller.
If it tempts you, that made me feel sick.
It didn't tempt you.
That's more than my car's worth.
You drive one. Hey, Trev, we'll get you back on to talk about the upcoming gear from Samsung, like the speaker and the rest of it. Sounds pretty exciting with what lays ahead for Samsung.
No worries, guys. Everything Perth for Brekkie. Mix
94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber. Without further ado, it's finally here, the big night in which The Bachelor for 2018 starts on Channel 10 at 7:30 tonight.
Kind of excited.
Yeah, he's a former rugby superstar, now a star of romance, we hope. The Honey Badger is the new Bachelor. Nick Cummins, welcome, mate. How are you?
Bloody terrific. Thank you for asking.
Good to see you.
I kind of was hoping that you would speak with a very posh English accent off camera.
We're on camera here.
Yeah, we are too.
No, mate. It's been a hell of a ride. I think people expect a certain Bachelor.
Yep.
But, you know, you just got to stick to your guns, I reckon.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, this is a genuine question. I'm not being facetious in any way, but what do you offer the ladies? What is it that makes you a catch?
Vibes.
Just good vibes?
Good vibes. Just goodness. You know, I think these days with how stressy everything is and how fake this world can be, sometimes just some good old-fashioned, genuine vibes. It goes a long way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just being yourself. So you didn't feel any pressure to try and be James Bond, especially first episode, because that's a tough night.
Yeah, you kind of do because you're all dressed up like a pet lizard and your suit and all that sort of carry on and they're all looking pretty snazzy. Mm. Spend a lot of time getting ready.
Yep.
So you kind of sort of feel you got to fill this role of this dude, but I mean you can still be a gentleman and still have a laugh and wear a suit at the same time. You don't have to act a certain way.
Yeah.
No, and it's been your personality that is, you know, the whole country is warm to you even before you've started doing this with your ads and the National Geographic stuff you do. And I've seen a bit of your stuff on YouTube where you're dancing around Scarborough Beach to Mysterious Girl. Not a bad ukulele player either.
Yeah, I dabble a bit, mate. Yeah, I think around the campfire, it's always a good one. Not Mysterious Girl, but various other tunes.
Yep.
I recommend it because you can travel well with it. Yes. And you can always brighten someone's day somewhere on the line. When in the airports, when the bloody flights are delayed,
mm-hmm.
everyone's a bit somber, whip it out.
And,
the ukulele.
Yes.
And are you honest with yourself when the idea that they go, here's 24 women, chuck them in a house, the odds of all of them liking you? I mean, I'm not saying you're not a decent guy, but I'm like, 20, you know, you could put 24 men in a room. The chances of me liking all of them are pretty slim. But like for them to all want to be with you, did that continue easily for you? Or were you, did you think to yourself, oh, if they bail on me, it's okay?
That's how life is. You know, there's not one good thing for everyone. Like everyone's got different tastes. So I was thinking there's definitely going to be some that'll probably walk. There's some that'll... Because look at me, bloody hell, I'm not your standard setup. You know, not your run-of-the-mill bloody badger. I've just bloody curly hair and a mustache. I mean, that sort of builds me up a bit, the mo.
Yeah.
But
it's giving you more cred.
Yeah, more street cred. But I was fully understanding, you know what, it could just be a whole bun fight and everyone gets filthy because, you know, I'm not the classic dude. But that's something I had to overcome myself and just go, who gives a rat's bum?
Yeah.
Just get out there, have fun, be yourself. Because if you put on this mask, you're going to attract people that like that mask.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Not who you actually are. So.
Not your average bun fight.
Yeah. No, not your standard setup.
I don't know what an average bun fight is.
Oh, I'll take you when I'm going on Saturday night. And buddy, I guess, you know, it's fair to ask, we know how TV works and you are a personality and that's why you're great talent for this show, but are you looking for love? I mean, is that why you're on here? Is this a serious Nick Cummins is ready to settle down and find someone?
Yeah, when I first got asked to go on it, I was like, oh, nah, and I bailed, went on a little tour.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and then opportunity came around again and I had some time to think and I was like, well, you know what? I'm at that point in my life. You know, I've been single for a bit now and thinking it could be a winner here.
Might be all right.
Yeah, this could be all right. And the reason why I thought this is actually a real chance is because when the girls go in, they don't know who the bachelor's going to be.
Right, okay.
So I get a real shot at just face value, flat out. How do you feel at that moment? What do you, like, you start afresh. Mm. You know, you don't
have
preconceived ideas of who I am or who they are. Or...
They don't get to Google you when they're in the house.
Yeah, like...
Might be a better chance than the beer garden at the Paddo on a Saturday. Yeah. There's Nick Cummins over there.
Well, in this case, the beer garden, it didn't have any other blokes in it.
There you go. That's smart.
Right. Yeah. Yes. So the odds are
the best
favorite.
Beer garden in the world. Really smart. Well, mate, all the best. It's good to see you. And how long till you get your kid off in the first show?
Oh, geez. They're asking everybody a couple of days of getting your gear off. Yeah. It's like, far out. What is this show about?
Oh, I can't wait to see the opening credits. It's of you walking down the beach, shirt off. They always do the beach shot, right?
Of course. As long as
exactly.
They look bigger and more pumped up than Blake Garvey, we don't care.
Yeah. Well, I've never seen the show, so I would never know. I've never watched it. What does he look like?
Oh, going in blind. You didn't even know what the show was about.
No.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Doesn't matter. It's all about you.
Yeah.
Thanks, champ.
Good on you, guys.
Good to meet you, buddy.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire-Z, Matt and Kimber. Everything Perth for Brekkie.
Mum is the word. You
only a couple of weeks to laugh out loud, Janelle Koenig.
That's right, only 31st of August, isn't it, Maddie?
A few more sleeps, before we have to be funny in front of a lot of people.
Yeah, as opposed to just in this room.
Yes.
would you two be funny?
So my kids go to a Catholic school and it's lovely and I like it a lot and it's very warm and fuzzy.
Mm.
And my youngest is 5 and she's in pre-primary. We've got to go to church every so often. There's a church at the school. But every so often, they have a prayer service in the classroom.
Okay.
And it's super cute, and all of the parents are invited, and you have morning tea.
Mm-hmm.
And the kids sit around in a circle, and you have a little prayer service. And so a couple of weeks ago, we sat down for the prayer service, and the teacher said, before we got into it, she said, just to preface you, I'm not too good with technology, but we'll make it work because we've got the smart boards in the classroom.
Sure, okay. Yeah.
Yes, because she wanted to intersperse the prayer service with hymns and visual aids for the kids so that they could do the singing and the hand movements to the songs and that kind of thing.
Oh, just get them involved.
Get them involved.
Was the Pope Facebooking live?
Yeah, we should try.
Yeah.
We should totally try and do that.
Yeah, I'm sure his Insta.
I'm sure he's got a social media department.
Of course he does.
Yeah. So we got into the prayer service and the teacher was about to play the first hymn.
Mm.
And what played was this. Nice.
Tonight, I'll be eating a yellow coconut curry, sticky date pudding and custard from the Raw Kitchen in Fremantle.
Okay, so...
That's not the Pope.
It is not the Pope. That is Boy George, about as far as you, away as you can get from a prayer service for 5-year-old at a Catholic school.
Pretty much.
And I lost it laughing. I absolutely lost it laughing. Everybody else was kind of looking a bit awkward and the teacher's frantically trying to redo the hymn or the whatever she was trying to play. But it kept playing over and over again.
Tonight, I'll be eating a yellow curry.
It was so funny. I'll be eating a yellow exactly like that. And she's going, oh no. Now a reading from tonight. Pardon the pun, but bless her. Because it was so funny. But you know what? Vegans count too.
Yes.
Vegans can't too, because the kids were giving their gratitude prayer. So they were, I'm grateful for my family.
Prayer.
I'm grateful for my brain so I can learn at school. One said I'm grateful for my pets.
Mm.
One said I'm grateful for
tonight I'll be eating a yellow
for Uber Eats.
Absolutely. But it was really funny and it was nice to have a laugh in the classroom.
Yes.
It was a kind of serious situation. But afterwards, we had our lovely morning tea, and you know what we had, don't you, Matt?
Yes, I'm assuming you had a yellow curry with sticky pudding.
Just tea and biscuits.
Janelle Koenig, Matt Dukinsky, part of the bill, of course, for the Big Breakfast Laugh Out Loud on Friday, August 31 at the Astor in Mount Lawley.
Yeah, with the one and only Greg Fleet also.
Yeah, looking forward to that. $35.50, your tickets on sale now from tickertech.com.au.
Breakfast with the lot. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
Shut up! The boy is on the radio!
He's an AFL superstar, a Doig medalist for Frio's Best and Fairest, and he's our man inside the Fremantle Dockers. It's Lucky Neil on Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast.
As we welcome the champion to the studio this morning, a very slow start against the Blues on the weekend, but win number 8 matching last year's win tally. Was a little bit slow to get going, weren't you?
Yeah, we were a little bit slow. We knew Carlton were going to come out and give it everything. I reckon they would have come over thinking and hoping that they could get another win before the season's end, and it was a good chance for them, they would have thought. And we were a little bit slow to get going defensively, and our ball movement was pretty good, but we just weren't capitalising as well as what we should have. And
true.
Ross's messages at quarter time and half time were pretty good. He was pretty positive and just said, stick at it, it'll come. So the third quarter it did.
7-0.
Yeah, it was nice. Yeah. It was nice. We probably haven't had a quarter like that for a while.
The fans got very loud at Optus.
And did you and Jules watch The Bachelor last night?
We did.
What are your thoughts? What are your early votes? What was the most interesting?
Most interesting was definitely, is it Cass?
Oh, the young
blonde
one. Yep.
Blonde girl who'd met the honey badger before.
Yeah,
it was quite interesting watching her roam around. She had eyes just for him, didn't she? She
yeah.
was pretty keen.
Are you thinking there might be a room in her house that's, you know, like Nick, she's made a Cummins out of dead cats or something?
Just a Nick Cummins made out of mashed potato. Oh, yeah.
When she said, I've put down my goals and my dreams for the year and your name's
in the
on
diary.
Them. It was, yeah.
Every bloke's dream.
Yeah, exactly.
But
why hasn't he cancelled the show and just said, righto, let's go?
But Ross is all about that, isn't he? Making goals and trying to,
well, that's why I thought he might have just grabbed her and said, all right, I've found the winner.
You've got to take your dream board seriously.
So Ross is all about that. Was he making a shape of Lockie in his bedroom out of
it could be. I don't know. I don't know what goes on in the world of professional sport. Hey, back page today, buddy. Hayden Ballantyne staying on and Harley Bennell. I know a lot of us who on the outside don't know a lot about Harley Bennell, and maybe there's some frustration with Dockers fans, but obviously Ross regards him very highly and he is within the team, right?
Yeah, he's worked so hard to get his body right, and he had a bit of a mishap a few weeks ago, so unfortunately I'm not sure if he's going to play again this year, but just the way he applies himself to get his body right is first class, and his work ethic's unbelievable. I've seen him in the gym and in the cross training room and on the track when he does run, and he just puts everything into it, so well deserved for Harley, and hopefully he can get his body right this off season and come back and have a full pre-season, really get going. It'd be fantastic to see. I think it's one of those stories that if he does get back playing, it'll be fantastic. Mm. So not just for Freo fans, but for footy fans in general.
Yeah, mm. A couple of tough games to end up. Go to Geelong and get booed on the weekend, of course. And then Collingwood back here on the Saturday, which is the final game. And then after that, what is it? Is it the French Riviera? Is it Bali? Is it, I don't know, a wedding? What are you up to over summer?
It's a wedding.
Yes.
So I probably won't be travelling too much before that. I've got a few trips to Melbourne and... just around Australia a bit. I'll pop home for a little bit.
Go and get that Brownlow. And...
I wish. I think it's Tommy Mitchell's to lose at the moment. So, but yeah, I'll just get around Australia a little bit on weekends, and then wedding planning. Try and help Jules out as much as I can because I haven't been much help so far.
Right.
So
yes.
Should probably.
You're just
going to
come in at the end and put together some bomboneries and think your job is done.
Yeah, yeah. I'll pick up my suit and then I'll be ready. So
complain about the doilies and move on.
Well, you can be inspired by the honey badger and write you when you write your speech.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, happy as a dog with two tails.
Probably get onto that. Yeah, I might take some tips off him as well.
Throw some
famous one-liners in there.
Well, good luck on the weekend against the Cats, mate, and wrapping up the season as well. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
The Big Breakfast with Claresy, Matt and Kimber.
Five high-profile Australians have swapped privilege for homelessness in the second series of SBS's Filthy Rich and Homeless. It's back on tonight, 8:30 p.m. for the finale with a 9:30 chat after the show to wrap things up. And we thought we'd catch up with a man who at one stage was looking for a bit of cardboard to sleep on, and don't call him Bin Boy. Aussie actor and broadcaster Cameron Daddo. Welcome, mate.
Thanks so much.
Cameron Daddo, I mean, look, you know it's an experiment. You know you still have a home to go to in 10 days. But how quickly did you feel affected by homelessness? When did it hit you?
Look, the whole experience hit me kind of as soon as I got dropped off because we were really just left alone. No one would speak to us in terms of crew or anything like that. I mean, there was only three people in the crew. But I got to say, it was the anxiety leading up to it. The fear of the unknown or just, it's not even a fear of the unknown. It's just like, I have no clue of what I'm into. So the anxiety level was quite high leading up to it.
Mm.
Cam, it seems like we've been having this discussion for a long, long time. And, you know, latest figures telling us there's around 120,000 homeless people at any given time. I mean, is this a problem we're ever going to be able to confront? Is there a lack of empathy for people out there or people just don't know what to do?
Yeah, I think it's the latter. I think it's the ignorance of it. People just don't know what to do. And, I mean, even in terms of my mother, yesterday rang me, and it was before the first episode went to air, and she said, I saw a homeless guy, and he was, you know, he was asleep, and then I came out of where I was, and he was still asleep, but I thought I'd go and give him some money, and I went over there and I said, why are you sleeping? And then I said, what did he say? And she said, because I can't sleep at night time, it's too dangerous.
Yes.
Yeah.
And she went, oh, you know, and I said, Mum, you better watch the show because this is what it is. She's just one of many people that just really don't get it.
Yeah. Mate, watching the first night really moved me, and to see how quickly you guys were affected. And obviously the lack of sleep does make you very emotional straight away, but that event that you helped to organise and they gave you the $25, they did recognise that you were Cameron Daddo, correct?
Absolutely.
So after, say, 10 days on the streets, or maybe even longer, you've got a 10-day growth, you smell a bit, you don't look like Cam anymore, do you think they'd still give you that kind of privilege?
Well, I would hope that those people did and would. Okay, if I was just a normal dude, right?
Yep.
And I rocked up and I said to the people organising that event, I go, look, I'm homeless, I have no money, can I help you? For some money, I would bet that group of people or any other group of people would say, you know what, yeah, no worries, we'll give you $5 if you can go and lift that fencing and help us put that in there. I still believe that if you help yourself, if you get up and say something to someone and say, I need help, and put yourself out there, I'd like to believe 7-8 times out of 10, you're going to get a positive response.
But over time, I suppose that's the thing, people lose their confidence and can't do that.
Just in summary, mate, I just want to know, when you're trying to find a bit of cardboard to sleep on and some joker yells out, hey, Bin Boy, how did that make you feel?
I was devastating because it was not so much about me, because I just thought of, if I was a real guy out there, you know, really struggling and I'm trying to find a bed for myself and a young person yells out that, I just thought, how ignorant are we that, you know, we would, and I was that kid. I mean, I probably did some, maybe didn't yell it out to a homeless guy, but I had those thoughts.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
And if we just put ourselves in someone else's shoe and understood where they were coming from, if that kid took that moment to actually do that, he wouldn't have yelled it out.
No.
Mate, we're looking forward to this final instalment, and then, of course, the chat afterwards tonight on SBS 8:30, the final episode of Filthy Rich and Homeless. Cameron Daddo, thanks for your time, bud.
Thank you.
This'll fill you up. Everything Perth for Brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire-Z, Matt and Kimber.
Jimmy Barnes has had two very, very successful books, let's be honest, in the last couple of years.
Absolutely.
You know, like writers around, there's a lot of envious writers around the country because his two books, which were written, one about his childhood called Working Class Boy, and then Working Class Man about his career with Cold Chisel and beyond and everything, including his addiction issues and the rest of it. Just really touched a nerve in this country.
People have responded to the bravery, the honesty, the brutal honesty of it all, you know?
Yeah, absolutely, and the things you go through. So we thought we'd get Jimmy on to talk about the fact that Working Class Boy is now a movie. You can see the doco.
Yes.
Which is opening up next Thursday in cinemas, Working Class Boy. Barnsley's on the line. And, mate, firstly, welcome, and how you doing?
Very good. How's it going?
Very well. Now, Barnsley, watching you retrace the streets of Glasgow was interesting. I have seen the film, and I mean, does the torment of the past feel like a different lifetime to you?
It does, but because I sort of locked it back, you know, in the back of my head for so long, and because it caused so much damage to me and to everyone around me, now that it's sort of out there and I'm dealing with it, that connection to that is this life is sort of getting stronger.
Yeah.
You know, it used to be something that was, nah, that's in the dark past, let it go. You don't have to deal with this, it's gone. Now I'm dealing with it, it's much closer to home, and it's it makes more sense.
And it's, I mean, that's the takeout for me with all of your stuff in recent years, is that, you know, you've spent a lifetime trying to hide and run away from various things and cover up demons and faults. And then finally, when you reveal those things that you're most afraid of is when you have universal admiration and for people who recognize that journey that you've been on.
Well, because it's a shared journey. We all do the same stuff. You know, we're all afraid. We all run. It doesn't matter how tough you are. We all run. If there's a problem, we'd rather not face it. You know, one of the big messages I put across, particularly doing the stage show, but it's really true, is I've realized that you can't run from anything.
No.
And as scary as the whatever's chasing you, you know, whatever you're running from, isn't as scary when you turn and face it.
No.
You know? I mean, once it's faced, at least, you know, it has a chance to be fixed.
Yeah.
But until then, it's just gonna keep running your life.
Mm. Jim, last time we caught up, it was after we were talking about Working Class Man at that stage, the follow-up book. And I said, well, I mean, you've obviously been a great songwriter, but with the books, it's just gone to another level. And the honesty in there, you must have been in pain at times when you're writing these words.
Oh, you know what? I'd sit and I'd write and things would come to me and I'd write it down and I'd go, oh, Jesus. And that stuff I hadn't thought about and stuff from, you know, since I shoved it in the back of my head. And then I'd have to sit and go, do I want people to hear this?
Yeah.
You know, and then I'd have to say, well, it's the truth. And I'd sit there and I'd be anxious and cranky. And luckily, most of the time, it was just me and the dog sitting there. And, you know, what do you guys think? Rough, you know? But you know, I'd bounce it off Jane and she'd feel me sort of like they would be tearing me apart while I was doing it. Mm. And, you know, Jane would sit quietly and Jane doesn't prod her it. And she'd say, so I'm just in the passing, have you spoken to your therapist lately? and then I'd go, yeah, all right. So, and I'd ring the therapist and then, you know, and work through stuff that was really needed to be done. So, I mean, the writing process alone didn't do this. The writing process in conjunction with talking to a therapist, talking to my family, talking to my friends, really, it took a lot of work.
Well, within the film, it shows moments of your stage show and the energy required for your stage show is very different compared to a Cold Chisel or Jimmy Barnes gig. Do you get the same fix as you did from singing?
Sort of. It's a different one, but it was probably more taxing, the stage show, because it was because of the emotional content, you know. But then again, even before I knew it, that I was going through those same emotions when I sang. So it's a similar sort of thing, you know. Of course, you know, walking around and talking, it's really strange to bare your soul and be that open without having a punchline, you know, on stage.
Mm.
You know, but I could do that in a song, and it'd be, you know, loud and brash, and there'd be lighting effects and all sort of stuff, and you could smoke and mirrors. You get up there and stand on stage and say, you know, I was sexually abused as a child.
Mm.
And there's a pin, you can hear a pin drop in the room, you know.
Mm,
it's But it's stuff that has to be spoken about because there's so many other people out there the same.
Everything Perth for Brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
Chatting with us here about his movie, which is called Working Class Boy. You can see it from next week. And Jimmy is with us this morning.
Well, I guess in the last 10, 15 years, we've never seen more attention brought to men's mental health and men talking about stuff. How do you find your reaction with other guys to what you're talking about?
Well, some of them it scares, and some of them still, you know, what are you, man up, you know?
Yeah.
What are you, girly boy, you know? But most people have been really, you know, like, you know what, I recognise myself and you. You know, I've been going through similar things. I've got work to do. Because the problems that men have been, you know, the Me Too and all that sort of stuff, those problems are generational. We've been brought up to be, yeah, we're the bloody dominant species. We don't cry. We're tough. We do this. We take what we want. We don't feel.
Yes.
But men have been struggling and suffering forever. And that came out in bad behavior. And it came out in domestic violence. You know, tension and fear and shame would cause domestic violence. Mm. Families were torn apart. Women were killed. Mm. And also men have been, you know, committing suicide. That's plague proportions as well. They're all related. All these issues are related. And it's just about perceptions of being a man, you know?
Yeah.
You've got to feel because, you know, if you don't feel, you can't, you're not human.
Yeah.
Well, and men don't want to feel.
Taking a lid off so much suffering and silence. Hey, Jimmy, how does this make you feel?
All your life, you're only waiting for a small man to wife. Blackbird.
Now, you know who that is.
Yes, that's Betty. Betty Campbell.
Oh.
Blackbird singing in the Devil Night, she
says.
Yeah. And she sang that, and she also sang it to Magda, her godmother. But, I mean, see, the thing is, me dealing with my problems is going to make, you know, Betty's life better.
Yes.
Yeah. If I didn't deal with my stuff in this lifetime, it goes on to the next, you know. Every step I've taken over the last few years and making myself a better person, I can see my children becoming better. I can see my grandchildren becoming better. I can just see them relaxing. So, you know, like, they don't have to go through this stuff, you know. And we can, you know, we can start changing. You know, it's all of us have to do it for each family. We can start changing now. We can pass this on and make our families happier.
And you're sort of in the thick of changing yourself and, as you say, facing your demons and all of that. So now do you feel like you're coming to the end of that and there's going to be another journey for you to explore? Or?
Oh, I'm sure. And I'm sure there's a few demons left in there, you know. But, you know, they're always there and they're always barking at your heels. But, you know, the thing is, if you turn and face them, that's it. It's easier. But, you know, I'm growing and taking away all that other, you know, bullshit, hate to say it, taking all that stuff out has given me a lot more time to think and feel and be present for my family and to think about other things. I think I'm a better singer now. I think I'm going to write better songs now. You know, I think it's just allowed me time away from panic, you know, to be able to feel. And, you know, I'm a better parent for it. I'm a better husband. I'm a better, you know, better grandparent.
Yeah, well, like the books, mate, you could sit there and grab all the pennies for yourself, but I know you're giving back to farmers, so we dip our lips to you. Well done.
Yeah, no, listen, they're struggling out there, so I thought, you know, it's the least I could do.
Hey, thanks, Jim. Good to catch up.
All the best, guys.
Yeah, Jimmy Barnes. Jimmy Barnes on Mix 94.5, of course. You can check out the doco, Working Class Man. Working Class Boy is the first book, and it's also the name of the first movie, from August 23, which is next Thursday in select cinemas.
Great.
Check it out.
That Big Breakfast catch-up was brought to you by the great gas deals at Alinta Energy. The Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber. Weekday mornings from 6 on Mix 94.5.